Today's program is brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit culinarycenter.com.
I'm Erica Weitz, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to Feast Your Ears. I'm Harry Rosenblum from the Brooklyn Kitchen, a cooking store located at 100 Frost Street in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. Join me every Wednesday as I talk with people about what they do and how it influences their personal food stories. This is a show about people, life, and food. You can find Feast Your Ears, as well as lots of other great shows, at heritageradionetwork.org and on iTunes. Follow us on Instagram, at feast.yr.ears. Today is episode 16 of Feast Your Ears. In the studio with me today is Tom Jones, not the singer. Tom Jones is a pastry chef and an instructor at the International Culinary Center, which was originally the French Culinary Institute, for those of you that have lived in New York for a long time. Tom is a pastry instructor and also served in the military. He was in the Army and the Marines and didn't actually go into the kitchen as a profession until he was transitioning out of his military service. Tom, thanks for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Can you tell me and the audience a little bit about what you do now? So as an instructor at the ICC, what's your job?
As an instructor at the ICC, I create experiences for our students to learn about their field, to learn the basic skills and intermediate and advanced skills that are needed to, in my case, create pastries in a restaurant or in a bakery. It's really, I get great rewarded from it. I like helping people move from whatever their career was to what they want to become. And I take that pretty seriously, and fortunately, I kind of enjoy it.
That's great. Yeah. Do you find that a lot of your students are people that are coming out of another career and going into cooking, or is it young people who, you know, have decided in their late teens that that's what they want to do?
You know, our audience over the years, it is, we have a variety of people, but it's mainly adults who have had a career and been successful. And the one thing I keep hearing, it's a theme that I hear over and over again, is this is something I've always wanted to do. In the past, I did this. I was an architect. I was a lawyer. I was a truck driver. But now I really want to learn about cooking and make my living at it.
And they've decided to sort of take the leap and make that happen.
I mean, we also have, you know, young people who are just finishing high school. But I think we also have, bigger percentage is, adults who are deciding to get the information and the skills that they need to and go on a new endeavor.
And some of those people, like yourself, are coming out of the military?
Yeah, some. Yeah. Okay. And over the years, the population that we're serving that are former military has increased. It's not really large, and we kind of hope that we're able to serve the veteran population more.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a scholarship, right, that has been started to...
Absolutely. The Friends of the French Culinary Institute, ICC, have established a military scholarship, and it's pretty generous, and it really is... when I left the service, I used my veterans benefits, and I found that because I went to a trade school, there were certain limitations imposed on it, and I wished such a scholarship had existed. I would have definitely taken advantage of it. So it is designed to really help the veterans who are considering going to a culinary school, help them be able to choose the ICC. And I think that's a great opportunity. I'm really excited that it exists.
So as a veteran, can you talk a little bit about your path? So you started out in the Army, I understand from our earlier conversations, and then got out of the Army and then went back in, went into the Marines.
Yeah.
And considered a career in the military and then decided to get out of the military.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long and winding... I think we were talking earlier, I was like, I never imagined I would have been a pastry chef in New York City in the 21st century. And, you know, when I was a kid, I was like, well, what am I going to be doing when I'm old?
Right, when I grow up.
So it was a combination of needing to find a new path, a new career. When I was transitioning out of the military in 98, they literally said, you must go to the transition assistance program, and we're going to give you some assessments and help you take tests and see what aptitudes you have.
Aptitude testing.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Yeah. I could have been a commercial blaster, a librarian, a cook, a chef.
Those were the career paths that they laid out for you.
I mean, it was funny. But I was like, oh, I'm interested in cooking.
Yeah.
And at the time, my girlfriend was working at the Food Network early on. She eventually became my wife and left the Food Network. But she gave me some. She was like, hon, take a look at this French Culinary Institute. They have this great brochure. A friend of mine recommends it. Take a look at it. I took a look at it and was like immediately impressed, and went to school there and graduated and then started working. Yeah. And that was what I needed to do. I wasn't ready to go back to college. I'd spent a lot of time in the military. It was one of those things where I wanted to transition. I wasn't ready to sit down and earn an undergraduate degree or a graduate degree. I felt I had earned it. Whether that was wise or not is another thing.
And so you went into the restaurant workforce.
Oh, yeah. I worked at a canteen,
okay.
which now is Lure, mm-hmm. Restaurant Lutèce, Restaurant Daniel, and then at the Sony Club, which was the corporate dining room for Sony Corporation America. That was my last gig before I went to the International Culinary Center.
And always pastry?
Always pastry.
Yeah.
And I didn't, it's with many new endeavors, ignorance is bliss. Not knowing everything.
Sure.
You can't be afraid. You just have to do it.
Right.
I think you make the best choices you can given the information that you have. Yep. And I really have enjoyed it, this career so far.
Did you grow up in a family that did a lot of cooking or baking at home?
Oh yeah, my granddad.
Yeah.
I mean, nice. It sounds like a classic story. Oh, the father. My granddad. No, he was I was raised by him, and he was a child. He was a teenager, I guess, in the Great Depression. From the South, and he cooked all the time. Cobblers and pies and lemon meringue pies and cakes, we always had a can of bacon grease on the stove.
And, sure. And, you don't want to throw that away.
This is how you make gravy, son. You know? So, I didn't know that that would serve me well at some point, And where I grew up, there was a lot. I mean, it was one of the things that people did. You worked in the kitchen,
right?
You could. He retired from the post office, but anyway.
Do you find that, or did you find, I guess, that the professional kitchen had similarities to the military? I mean, it sounds like you went into some very sort of classic.
Yeah,
kitchens.
I did do some research. I didn't go in completely blind.
Sure.
I found that I said, well, I want to become a cook. I want to become a chef. I want to go into pastry. What is this all about? And my research led me to believe that the training that the French had seemed to have codified and established a reputation as being masters of this medium. And I was like, well, the French Culinary Institute, they had this reputation, and investigating it more, it was all steeped in like these classic techniques. And I was like, well, it is about technique. And that was There's a tech way of doing things, yeah. And learning that way of doing things in that process, that's what led to that.
You were saying when we were chatting before the show that you don't run your classes quite like a professional kitchen because you feel like your students might not make it to the professional world. They need to get through some education first.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So when I first was hired to be an instructor, I wasn't an instructor. I was an assistant, and I had this attitude like, you've really got to push. You don't know how hard it's going to be. And that was part also from maybe a gestalt or an attitude that I had from being in the service. And I got some great advice from one of the senior deans. And he's like, you're here to create an experience so these people can learn, not to terrorize them, literally. And he was right. And I need to create an environment so people can understand these skills. He's adults, and that's what we're trying to do. Like, the military has had this environment where you define the task, the condition, the standards. You have a mission. There's a leader who has a vision and gonna define your role and as a member of the team, and all those things happen in a professional kitchen. And at the International Culinary Center, the chef instructors are creating an environment and defining the mission. The mission is to teach you how to prepare this cake.
Sure. I mean, to create the flour, we do the same thing in our business. I mean, at the Brooklyn Kitchen, we try very hard to give people, an idea of what their work is going to be there and what is expected of them. And here are the tools to get there. And here's the knowledge you need. And, it all comes together in that training, right?
Yeah, it comes together in a training. You define the tasks, set the conditions, help people understand the standards, and then give them the support they need to accomplish that. And in that way, it's like the military, in that there's this structure of the kitchen brigade.
Yep.
But unlike the military, you certainly have the option of not doing it.
Right.
If you've decided this isn't for you, you can certainly step away from it.
Right. Yeah. Has the curriculum changed at all? I mean, you've been at the ICC.
Dramatically. I mean, our organization has become more professional and actually brought in even more and more experts in the field to help design the curriculum and kind of change with the way that our industry is changing all the time. Whether it's in food technology or, that's an easy one.
National Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Welcome back to Feast Your Ears. I'm Harry Rosenblum. I've been speaking with Tom Jones, instructor at the International Culinary Center, about his time in the military and what led him into the kitchen and ultimately into the classroom to teach pastry there at the ICC. Tom, before the break, we were talking about traveling and about sort of your time in the military and then coming into the kitchen. What did you have a sort of like aha moment about being in the kitchen and both being a pastry chef and then also teaching?
I mean, there are lots of aha moments in business, but in life. But one of the things I like to, when I think about that, is I was working at Restaurant Danielle. At the time, our pastry chef was Johnny Uzzini. And Chef Daniel was in the middle of creating his menu for Bistro Modern. And I was at that, I worked service and production. I was working production and the third chef deals at night. And Chef Daniel and his chefs, his more, I was a peon. You know, if he yelled at me, said, "What is this crap?" I would, "Yay, he spoke to me."
Right.
Anyway,
right.
But what was interesting was to watch them working on the food items, developing the menu. There's that famous hamburger that had the foie gras wrapped around it.
Right.
And other dishes, and watch the process. It was an awesome experience to see them, you know, be critical of each component, of each flavor, of tasting it, and really, it was a really great classroom, actually watching that happen. Oh, yeah, I have work to do. Let me get back to work and find out what's going on. But, you know, even tasting the scraps after they were done.
Right.
You know, dissecting it. What do you think? I don't really care.
Right. As a teacher, I taught at Columbia University years ago in the theater department. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I always enjoyed as a teacher was watching the aha moment.
Yeah.
Happen with my students. And I feel like that, you know, didn't happen with all of them. I mean, certainly I've had students that were not, you know, some were better than others.
Yes, sir.
But always really enjoyed sort of when you see it click.
Yeah. That's a rewarding part about being a teacher. I mean, like, how can you really prepare somebody for changing their life and going into a new industry? I mean, you can give them the technical information, you can give them these experiences, and in the process, there are certain experiences that you're watching. You know, you see the light come on, or you see somebody really get it and not only do well, but kind of enjoy themselves as they're creating the menu or the cake or the puff pastry. When they see it and they figure it out and they can be excited about it.
Do you see your students out in the world? I mean, do you go and eat at restaurants and then realize that some of the food you're eating was made by your students?
Well, I mean, one of the coolest things is watching students, former students, go and be successful.
Sure.
I mean, that is the ultimate, oh, Christina Tosk, I remember her. Or,
right.
You know, when
yeah.
you see the chefs, they come back. And what's cool is the students keep coming back. We're not going anywhere. The students come back to the International Culinary Center and check in. Maybe it's looking for a new gig or come back to talk to an old chef instructor.
Sure.
I did that when I was, I sought advice from my, you know, our industry is kind of, there's this DNA. Who was your chef? And,
right.
you talk about who your chef was and what advice they gave you or didn't give you, how they were an accidental mentor.
Right.
And so I went back to, Chef Victoria, who's one of my instructors, and I got advice from her a lot when I was working in the industry, not at the school.
Right. Are a lot of the students, or most of the students, based in New York City at the ICC? Are they from here, or do they come here?
We have students from New York and from the metropolitan area, but we literally have students from all over the world.
Hmm.
And that is another fun and exciting part of it. A lawyer from China. A doctor from Singapore, and they are successful in what they have been doing.
Right.
But they want to learn how to cook.
It must give great perspective within the class. To
oh yeah, I mean,
well.
I try and get the students to understand. I mean, I have my patent introductory lecture, but we all bring something to the table. You know, introduce yourselves. Oh, you're from Singapore. You're from China. You're from Australia, and you know, we have like kids from the metropolitan area or grown-ups from the metropolitan and people from all over the world. And unlike the military and unlike a professional kitchen, we're here to learn. We're not here to make a dollar for the owner or for the kitchen. So that's what when I was saying that you have to remember it is a school where we're trying to learn.
Yeah.
There's a big difference when you're trying to pay the bills.
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking before the show about our children.
Yeah.
You have a 12-year-old, right?
Yes, she's awesome.
Does she cook? Do you cook together?
It's hilarious. Yes. Yes. When she was little, she really loved it.
My 6-year-old loves it.
Used to love cooking with daddy and like, oh, you're making candy. Oh, my God. You're making candy. Now that she's 12, she has a little perspective. She can give me a little distance. She likes to take lessons from YouTube and then try it out on me.
But so she cooks.
She cooks.
That's cool.
My spouse, who is like part of the inspiration for me becoming a chef, who handed me that brochure, who encouraged me, who gave me the ultimatum, enlist one more time and I won't be here, made it easy for me to become a chef. But she's also been super involved in food education at my daughter's elementary school. Shout out to PS3.
nice.
She started the cooking room, and the idea was to create an environment where children could understand and get food literacy, but also to have an opportunity to apply the Common Core standards, whether that was mathematics or communications. And I wish I could have been more helpful with that, but I was definitely the guy going to work.
The kitchen does allow for the application of all of these theoretical things. And I'm only just, I mean, my daughter is in first grade, so she's only been in elementary school now 2 years. And, you know, but I'm just starting to understand all these things that when we're in the kitchen and she's talking about math, we're talking about fractions, I can say, well, cut that carrot into quarters, right? And so there's practical application of both teaching her how to use a knife, you know, I mean, two carrots later, she cut her finger and needs a Band-Aid and, you know, whole thing, but.
No, and, you know, and there was a great lessons about, you know, the taste, the sense of taste and sweet and sour and umami and all these other things. And again, the application of these standards that kids have to learn, the mathematics, the communication skills, and describing what they were doing. And we had a good run. We graduated from elementary school.
Sure.
And
You're into middle school.
Now we're into middle school. It's a whole other thing. Yeah. Go away, Dad. Door gets slammed.
We have a program at the Brooklyn Kitchen called Classrooms in the Kitchen, where one of the things that I realized, we were approached years ago by a teacher locally at a high school, automotive high school here in Williamsburg, that's relatively near to our store, who wanted to bring her class. She had an after-school cooking club, and she wanted to bring them to the store. And so we started this program out of that, where we invite public school classes in, and we say, we'll give you a tour of our store, and we'll talk about food sourcing, where our food comes from, where the meat comes from that we sell. You can experience that and see a half a pig hanging in the walk-in and talk about that, and then take a cooking class. And we try to, you know, make that something simple along the lines of something like fresh pasta, to teach children that, you know, with nothing more than a pot of water, an egg, and some flour, you can make your own food.
There it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a great, very gratifying. And that being able to nourish yourself and nourish other people, I mean, that was, I guess, on the big picture, why I was happy I was able to transition from the military to the kitchen.
Sure.
And that's another great aspect.
Yeah. We're almost out of time. You had written, I send a questionnaire to all of my guests, and I ask about what your pet peeve related to food is, and you said many. And I'm wondering if you'd be willing to choose one just to discuss.
Well, for the people that don't actually work in the industry, thinking that, you know, passion, I love cooking, I love the food, I love, you know what love is in the food industry? Doing it right for the last customer. Yeah, the first customer at the first sitting at 5:30, and now it's 10 a.m., it's 10:30.
Right.
You've been on your feet for 12 hours. Yeah. Love is making it great the last time, too. I mean, that's one of my peeves. But I've also learned, keep yourself in check, chef.
Yeah. Well, is there anything you want to share that we didn't touch on in our conversation today?
No, I just that I feel really fortunate to be an instructor and to help our students change careers. And I've been lucky. You know,
you've clearly worked hard too.
We work hard. That's work. There's luck. I mean, well, there's this great chef who said, you've got to prove yourself to your peers. You've got to have success commercially, and then you've got to have some luck.
Yeah.
And I've been lucky, and I've worked hard. see what else happens.
Well, great. Thank you, Tom. It's been a real pleasure having you here on the show. Thank you for listening to Feast Your Ears, and a big thank you to Kristen Baylor, who's my producer, and Liz Smith, who engineers this show every Wednesday. Please take a moment to like us on Facebook and iTunes and follow us on Instagram. I'll talk to you next week.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.